Well, we're going to be talking about the gifts that Jesus came to give here this morning. And if you remember last week, we talked about four different terms that are generally used to describe Christmas. And these are four terms we're going to be looking at throughout the month of December. We talked about peace, we talked about joy, we talked about love, and we talked about hope. Anytime you go like to the mall or places, oftentimes you will see these words around Christmas time, because they believe that it represents what Christmas is about. And so today we're going to be looking at joy, but not just any joy. We're going to be looking at abounding joy here this morning. We'll be in John chapter 15, verse 11. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me, if you will. But we'll be in John chapter 15, verse 11. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, we have to be very careful when we go and just pull a verse out of context, and we don't really have the whole context of what we're talking about here. It still may be a great verse for us, but notice the very first part of that. It says, "These things have I spoken to you." What has he spoken here? What is he talking about? Well, if you look at the context there, he is talking about abiding in the love of Christ. He's talking about abiding in my love. And if you are willing to abide in his love, then he says, my joy shall remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Notice it starts with his joy within us, and then as a result of that, then our joy may be full. Now, how many of you are joyful right now? We've got one. Excellent. Two. Wonderful. All right. Okay, look at your faces, man. You've got to come up here looking from this angle. Is there joy out there today? Are you joyous? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, as we come to the Christmas holidays, Lord, one of the things that is promoted throughout this Christmas holiday is joy. And Lord, we of all people who know Jesus Christ as Savior should have joy just overflowing. But Lord, we've got to be honest this morning. Sometimes there are things that come into our life that have a tendency to steal our joy. And when people look at us, sometimes we're not very joyful. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember what you have done for us. And as we're going to talk about even at the end of our service, when we go back to the cross, Lord. Lord, it is your death on the cross and your salvation that allows us to have this joy within us, Lord. And so, Lord, as we live out this life, Lord, and as we go through this holidays and even beyond, Lord, I pray that others will be able to see the joy within us so that they too will want what we have. And we have the privilege and honor of sharing with them the love of Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Have you experienced joy in your life? I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Happiness is the result of the events in your environment going to your liking. But joy is something that resides within. Much like the peace that we talked about last week. Everything around you can be going kaput, but deep down inside, you possess a heart full of joy. This is an area that I'm just going to be transparent here this morning. This is an area that I struggle with. I struggle with this. I tend to let things in my environment steal my joy that God has given to me. I sometimes go to bed thinking about how life is a little bit lousy, or maybe how wrong the day went, or thinking about maybe conversations I have with different people, and I thought, you know, I wish they didn't say that. I wish they'd done things different, and I begin to start, you know, sort of moping around a little bit. I become very negative sometimes, and if I'm not careful, I will allow one negative thought to fester in my life. I mean, I could have 100 beautiful things that happened that day, wonderful things that happened that day, and I can have one person come up to me and say something negative, and I'm like, man, you just ruined it. You just ruined my day. And it's so easy to focus on that one negative thing. And we think, hey, hang on, I just had 100 wonderful things happen. What's going on here? Why do I want to focus on this one negative thing? And I can have that one negative thing fester in my mind, and I can forget about the 100 beautiful things that happened previously. And my wife and I, we have to constantly remind each other, hey, think about the bright spot. Think about the bright spot. When we start talking and we start having a conversation and we get too negative, one of the things we do is say, hey, let's think about the bright spot. What are some wonderful things that we can praise God for? What are some wonderful things that He has done for us? Let's think about the bright spot, because if we're honest and we look at our lives, there are so many things that we can be thankful for. Let's be honest. I mean, look at where we're living. Look at the country we live in. I mean, look at the wonderful people that you have as friends and family all around you. There are so many things that we can be thankful for, but yet all it takes is one negative thing sometimes, and we just, it just ruins our week. It's a natural instinct for me to sort of go to the negative. And I don't think I'm the only one. I see some of you out there and you're shaking your head. Yeah, you're with me. Often I like to talk to you know, people and things like that. But sometimes, you know, when I talk to Christians that think life is a drag, I mean, there's no joy in their lives. And every time you go and see them and go to speak to them, they've got a list of complaints and hurts and offenses that they have to go through before the next breath, and you can't get a word in. They want to make sure that they get through their list before you even interrupt them. You know the type I'm talking about. And then when you go and you try to make things more positive in the conversation, and you try to sort of turn them around to help them focus on the positive things in life, they'll go and take those very things and they'll turn them into a negative as well. You've been there. You've seen that. Then they wonder why they don't have any friends. They wonder why people don't want to hang out with them. They wonder why others around them don't want to become a Christian like them. For heaven's sakes, why would they want to become as miserable as you are? No, thank you. There seems to be something missing here. The joy that we see in Scripture, even Paul, when he was being persecuted at the time, it just seems to elude us. If we're finding that people are distanced from you, hey, look, and they're trying to evade you, here's some homework for you. Get a pen and get a pad and get a pen, and take one day, and you go through, and I want you to record your conversation for that day. Okay? Everything that comes out of your mouth, or try to remember everything that comes out of your mouth, you record that conversation. Talk to somebody, you go and you write it down. Talk to somebody else, you go and you write it down. And then at the end of the day, you open up your notepad, and you read back your conversation that you've had that week, or that day. And you may find that you don't like being around you either, because of your conversation. You're so depressing. Why would you want to hang around you? Why would anybody else want to hang around with you? We have the joy of the Lord within us. And oftentimes, there seems to be something missing. The joy that we see in Scripture is something that we need to want for ourselves. And sometimes we allow circumstances in our lives to become our identity, but we are who are believers in Jesus Christ. Our circumstances don't define us, but Christ defines us. And what does the Scripture say? It says that we are sons of God through Jesus Christ. Our words that are coming out of our mouths should reflect the joy of salvation that is within our hearts. People should see that. People should want that and desire that. Let's talk about biblical joy here this morning. There is joy in Scriptures. The English word joy is used several times in the Bible, 102 times in 95 verses in the Old Testament and 63 times in 60 verses in the New Testament. So obviously, the Bible has something to say about joy. In the New Testament, the New Testament joy, most of the verses that we'll look at today will come from the New Testament. When we read joy in the New Testament, most of the time it is translated cheerfulness. On other occasions, it means gladness. To jump. To shout for joy. You get the idea. Any joy out there this morning? Okay, we'll still work on that. There we go. All right. Somebody getting excited. We had a guy in our church in the States that he would get so excited in church. And he would be there listening to the pastor preach, and he would yell out, "Glory! Amen! Hallelujah!" Whenever the preacher made a point that he liked, "Glory!" I mean, he was just into it. And you know what? This brought excitement to the pastor as well, because he knew at least there was one person out there that was listening. It brought him joy as well. There's also joy in Christmas as well. This is why we're here. We talk about joy in Christmas. The word joy is used to describe this type of year, this time of year rather, but is it a true reflection? Is it a true reflection? I mean, sometimes Christmas is referred to as a silly season. And I wonder if that is not a more accurate description of this season than joy. I had to go to the mall this past week. Do you know this first part of that? I had to go to the mall this past week. Make sure you catch that. And I wasn't too joyful about it because I hate shopping. I hate shopping with a passion. I can't stand it. You know, I'm one of those, all the men, I'm one of those guys that sit on the bench, you know, while my wife goes and does all the running around. Yeah, that's me. I take my iPad and I just hang out, and that's my shopping. But we had to go shopping. And as I go through the mall, I look at the faces on other people, and I think they're probably not too happy to be here either. You see it on their face. Now, my wife went to an area where they had all the Christmas decorations because she wanted to get a Christmas photo. She wanted to do all the different posing, you know, the angles, and, you know, make sure you get this behind us as well, and make sure you do. I mean, I felt like I was a paparazzi myself or something. That was all the photos that we were taking. And she wanted to get all the backgrounds and get all the, and after a while, I just kind of had enough. Yeah, I just had enough, and then she looked at me, she fussed at me, and she goes, "Where's your Christmas spirit? Where's your Christmas spirit? You're supposed to be joyful. Remember what you're preaching on Sunday." Gotta love her. It seems crazy. All the running around, trying to decide what to buy and for whom to buy and how much money you can spend on this person without going into debt. And if I buy a present for this person, then I also have to buy a present for this person. This person bought me one last year, so I guess I got to buy them one for this year. And then we spend endless hours shopping online and traveling from store to store to get the best deal. Additional stress is added when you have those people in your life that are hard to buy for because they've got everything they need. And last year, just a week after you gave them a gift, you check their Facebook and it's already on Marketplace for a third of the price. You know the type. Or they re-gift it. Yeah. They re-gift it. How many of you re-gifted a gift? Don't lie. We're going to have communion. We're going to have a time of confession. Okay. All right. Have you ever re-gifted it to the same person that gave it to you? This actually happened in my family. Can you imagine the look on their face? It's like, "Oh, this looks familiar. Oh, really? What a surprise." You know? That happens. So it's easy to see how we can lose sight of what Christmas is all about in all the drama. Can't we? And in doing so, it's easy for us to lose the joy this season promotes and our sanity. Let's look at the different types of joy that we can have in Christmas time. First of all, it's the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, says, "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet." I'm looking at you guys right now, and you're already saying, you know what? That's my next life verse, right? That's my life verse. Especially around Christmas time. "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." At this time, God's people were not living as they should. The joy of the Lord had eluded them as well. Ezra had gotten all the Israelites together and he brought out the book of the law and he started to read them the book of the law, God's law. And as he stood there before them and he started reading the law, the people were getting upset. And the reason why they were getting upset and they began to weep because they realized that they had not obeyed the law of God for generations. They had neglected the law. They had neglected to do what God had commanded them to do. So their hearts were broken and sorrowful because of sin. And with their hearts tender and repentant toward God, Ezra told them that this was a holy day. A day that was not to be grieved. Go, eat, drink, help those that have nothing prepared. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. There was no joy in their hearts because they had realized their offense against God, and they determined from that point on to follow His word. And if you read the rest of this chapter, that's precisely what they did. They started making changes in their life so that they were living and following the word of God, and in doing so, they found strength and they found joy. Could it be that the joy of the Lord eludes us because we are not taking God's word to heart? We read His commandments more as suggestions, and we choose whether or not we want to obey them, and oftentimes we don't. We need to understand that it is in obedience to Him and His Word where joy can be found. And the reason why so many Christians are walking around deflated and depressed all the time is because they haven't spent time in the Word of God and allowing the Scriptures to wash over Him. They haven't allowed His Word to guide them and direct them. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is joy to be found in the pages of this book. The question is, are you going to take the time to look for it? You will never find it if you don't search for it. There's also joy in service. Joy in service. This past week, my wife had a crazy idea. She's like, let's go sing carols. I was like, what? You crazy? Go sing carols? Yeah, let's go sing carols. Hey, there's some people we can go to. And she started naming off some people. And then she said, you know what? I think there's a retirement village across the road. I'm going to call them up. So she calls them up, says, hey, we want to come sing to you. Okay. So they set up a time. We went over there, and we hit the little bell. It's like Fort Knox over there. You hit the little bell, and you have to wait, and finally somebody comes and lets you in. And we walked in, and they're like, had no idea we were coming. Somebody didn't get the message. And so we're like, we're supposed to come and sing to you guys today, and okay, hang on. And so, they get in this mode where they're grabbing patients all over the place and bringing them in. So we're having to sit there and wait and chill out and wait for everybody to get in. And they had like 31 people there that was, there to hear us sing. And I thought, wow, okay, I didn't expect this. Never been there before. And, and we were only going to do maybe 3 or 4 songs and then say goodbye, Merry Christmas, and we're out of there. But then I was telling Valerie, I said, look, it took me 20 minutes to get the people here. We probably need to do something a little bit more extensive. I hate to just, sing and run sort of thing. And luckily, about, probably 2 hours before we went, Val just picked up her flute and says, I might do a song as well. So she brought her flute and brought her bag and everything else. And so, anyway, we end up playing, she ended up playing like 3 different songs on the flute. And we had a little booklet of Christmas carols and things. So we just kept flipping. We just kept singing and we just kept singing. And they were loving it. They were clapping their hands and everything like that. And actually, it was funny because there was a couple in the back. They were making out the whole time. I mean, we're talking about some old people here. I mean, they were back there making out. This was like a date night for them. And I was like, my goodness, I feel like, we should go from singing carols to love songs or something, to help these guys out. But they were loving it, man. They're back there kissing and smooching and everything else. And I was like, okay, great. Whatever you like to do. I mean, love's in the air around Christmas time. And so, but I went there sort of reluctantly. I'll be honest with you. I sort of went there reluctantly because I wasn't really in the mood to go and sing, to be honest with you. But we went there to be a blessing to them. We went there to bring joy to them and joy to their lives. But you know what happened? They brought joy to me. To see them one lady, she was just like another world. She was just moving with the music. Another lady, she was just conducting the whole time, and she was just, and other ones were singing. I mean, they were really into it. They were loving it. They were singing along. They were having a great time. And I thought, you know what? I'm so glad I came. because I came to bring joy to them, but you know what happened? They brought joy to me. Why? Because there's joy in service. There's joy in service. The disciples of Jesus were out serving the Lord. In Acts chapter 13, verse 52, it says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. There was joy in serving others. They were witnessing, telling others about Jesus Christ. However, if you read the preceding verses, you will realize that the disciples were being persecuted and they were being forced out of town. Some of the Gentiles heard the message and they believed. However, the Jews rejected their message and they started stirring up people in the town, and the town began to turn against them. And their joy wasn't based on the fact that people were coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior, as some did, because the exact opposite was happening. They were being rejected. They were being persecuted. They were being run out of town. And yet, notice, they were filled with joy. It doesn't sound like a very joyous occasion to me. They just shook the dust off their feet and they went to the next town and they started all over again. How is this possible? How is this possible? They failed their mission. Actually, their mission was to be witnesses, not to save individuals or to save the town. Our job is to share Christ and the gospel. We're not responsible for how people receive it or if they receive it at all. But there is joy to be found in witnessing and sharing with others. This is one of the reasons why I talk about maybe those that don't have family members or those that may be alone. Take that time to invite them to come over to your house. Come have dinner with us. Come celebrate Christmas with us, because there's joy in service. I've had a conversation with some of you regarding church ministry. We don't start ministries here until God brings the right person to lead that ministry. If we guilt people into doing the ministry, then there will be no joy in what they do, and soon the complaints will come and they'll begin with all the problems and things, and then soon you'll hear them say, well, I think God's moved me to some other church, or God's moved me to some other place. Don't do ministry for me or my behalf. Dwayne and Valerie shouldn't be the reason why we do ministry in this church, because as soon as we let you down, and I guarantee you there will come a point in time where I probably will. I'm human. I mess up. I'll probably let you down sometime. And as soon as we do, well, then your ministry will cease. But you do it for Jesus. You do it for Jesus, and you will have the joy of the Lord to go along with that ministry as long as you continue to serve Him. There's joy in service, but also there's joy in salvation. And we start with the joy at Jesus' birth. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds rejoiced at His birth. Mary and Joseph rejoiced at His birth. The Magi rejoiced at His birth. Simon and Anna in the temple rejoiced at His birth. Angels rejoiced at His birth. Elizabeth and Zechariah were excited to hear about Mary being pregnant with the Savior, and they rejoiced at the birth. And even John, while in the womb of Elizabeth, he jumped for joy at the news that Mary was pregnant with Jesus. Why? Because now salvation can be offered to the world. Now salvation can be offered to the world. The birth of Christ is introduced, the salvation to the world. Here we have God in flesh that's willing to come and to die and take our place so that we can have salvation. It is a time to be joyful. However, even during the first Christmas, if you will, even in those days, some chose not to be joyful concerning the birth of Christ. King Herod tried to kill him. In fact, he went and killed all the males 2 years and younger to ensure that he got the right one. Of course, his plan failed. But for many, that was not a joyful night because it meant the death of their own child. But for us, we can look back on that day and we can have joy knowing that Jesus was born among men to be our Savior. But there's also the joy of salvation. In Psalm chapter 21, verse 1, it says to the chief musician, the Psalm of David, "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." And Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." In Psalm 51:12, it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold in me by your generous spirits." In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the salvation that Christ was going to bring. In the New Testament, they rejoiced when people came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. There is an understanding of their hopelessness without Christ, and they were damned with no hope. But Jesus was introduced to them, and they received Him joyfully. And many of us here this morning, that's our story as well. We were living in sin, hopelessness, or despair. And then somebody came along and introduced us to Jesus. That day changed the rest of our lives. For me, it was the 27th of May, 1991. I had grown up in church all my life. I had a knowledge of Jesus, but I didn't have a relationship with Him. And through the preaching of God's Word, I was convicted of my sin. I had a few bouts of happiness in my life, but joy just seems to sort of slip through my hands until I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. My story may resemble yours as well, because we both have experienced the joy of salvation. But here's a joy that I struggle with. Joy at the cross. It may seem a bit strange. Wasn't the cross a place where an innocent man was inhumanely put to death? How can we find joy in such a depraved act of humanity? Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Go back and have a look at that verse again. "For who the joy was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." This scripture baffles me, but it also excites me as well. We can't truly understand this passage without understanding what Jesus went through on the cross and the events preceding it. How can one say that with all the pain and the torture of Jesus Christ went through, that it was for joy? I can only suggest that the love that He demonstrated in providing salvation for us was much greater than the pain and the torture that He went through. The only way maybe I can describe this is maybe with the birth of a child. It's painful having a child. The stubbornness of some children start at childbirth, and they continue ever since, right? You have some kids that are difficult to come out. And so sometimes there's a lot of pain involved with that. But the pain is forgotten, or it's overshadowed by the joy of the child once the birth is completed. So much so that they actually want kids later on, despite the pain they went through. And no, I don't know this by personal experience. I just, something I've been told. And maybe your childbirth was different. I'm just the messenger. This joy could have been His love for us but also it could have been due to his obedience to his Father, even unto death. But he experienced joy while enduring the cross to pay for our sins. Don't understand it, can't explain it, but this is what the Scriptures tell us. And so it would be a shame to end it there, because I think it's important for us to know how we can receive this joy. How do we receive this joy? I mean, we're talking about the joy of the Lord here, right? The joy of the Lord. The Scriptures tell us that this joy is of the Lord. And if we want that joy, we must first understand this truth. You will not find this joy anywhere else in life. It is a joy that only comes from the Lord. But also we get it through the Holy Spirit as well. Galatians 5 tells us that joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The disciples were filled with joy as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to work within our hearts, the joy is produced regardless of what is happening on the outside. I've seen some people go through some very tragic events in their life. And you go and you talk to them, and yet you can still sense and see the joy that they have in the Lord. But all this happens as a result of the death of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Our joy is because of Christ's death. I know that sounds strange, but it's true. And the closest way I can illustrate this is maybe like an organ donor. Someone had to die in order for someone else to have the joy of living. So Christ sacrificed His life for us so that we can have joy in this life and also the next. Having joy is one of life's choices. And it starts with accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, but it continues as we become dependent upon Him as well. Christ tells His disciples in John chapter 6, verse 24, "Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Ask, that you may receive. Why? So that your joy may be full. God wants us to have a life of joy. He wants us to have a life full of joy. Christianity is not to be some burden lifestyle that we'll go and spend our days moping around as we serve Jesus. There is joy in the presence of our Lord. And if we find ourselves without joy in our lives, then maybe it's time for us to do what Israel did. Search the Scriptures and ensure that we are living as God commands, and to seek Him out in order to be in His presence so that we can have joy in our life. Because then and only then will our joy return. So this Christmas season, seek the joy of Jesus. Christmas is not about presents. It's not about Santa. And I even heard people say it's about family. Well, you know what? I don't even think it's about family. It's about Jesus. It's His birthday we celebrate. And when we get that right, then we can have joy in other areas of our life.